warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Just glad to be here, Bob. Thanks for inviting me
into the
studio.
Welcome back in the studio.
Gone a long time. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
Be gentle. The Bob who risks inviting me into the
into the
studio after such a long absence.
All right. So, Doug, we do have a lot to cover. We have some errors in the news we need to correct.
Yeah.
Like Fox News and CNN blowing the coverage of the indictments of John and Patsy Ramsey being released.
Yeah.
They blew that.
Who? Nancy Grace?
Nancy
Grace.
How would
you know that she blew it, Bob? You can't tell me that you watched that show.
I deny it. I deny ever having tuned in intentionally.
You know what is weird about Nancy Grace, Bob, is that she has evolved into a very creepy character who makes her living on the entertainment value of brutal murder.
Yeah.
It's just creepy.
That's a very good
summary. And you know what? Her physical appearance has morphed into this creepy, spooky character.
Like if you went to a mortuary and it was a dark night, wind, leaves blowing, and the door creaked open and she was there, it would be perfect.
And you could tell that she loves her job. It's just creepy.
It is creepy. But not only her, but on Fox, too. What's Horrendo Rivolto?
Horrendo Rivolto. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Horrendo Rivolto on Fox.
Also known as Jerry Rivers, a.k.a. Geraldo Rivera.
Both misreported and misread. I mean, Nancy Grace. Repeatedly misread as though she's reading from the indictments for John and Patsy Ramsey in Boulder after an 18-month grand jury investigation.
Yeah, I remember that.
They indicted them basically for murder.
We were in front of the courthouse when they were in session. Remember?
Yeah.
We were calling for the indictment,
right,
the trial.
We sure were. And that was on the news everywhere, efforts.
It was fantastic.
And we have a report online, The Clue That Breaks the Case.
Yes.
And to this day, it helps to explain the evidence and show that they are guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that Fox and CNN misreported this, and it wasn't only those two, it was all the panel and the other hosts and everybody on both shows, they said that the grand jury identified that there was a third party involved and the third party killed JonBenet Ramsey and that they tried to cover it up. Well, that was a complete misreading.
Yeah,
they were confused.
Yeah.
And Nancy Grace was so guilty because as she would read the indictments, which I have here, she would change the wording. She misread it. Not like intentionally, like she thought she was changing it, but she did change it.
Right there on TV.
Well, here's what happened. The grand jury couldn't figure out if John Ramsey finally killed their daughter or Patsy.
And I believe that in your excellent analysis, which I believe is still available at shadowgov.com.
Shadowgov.com. Yep. Just click on the Ramsey case.
I believe in your analysis, you never established 100% for sure which one killed the child.
No, right. It was child abuse that got out of control.
Yeah.
And then they desperately made it look like maybe an intruder did it.
Right.
And we
now explained that was fairly obvious.
Exactly how that, and the clue that breaks the case, we have all that. Well, the grand jury was not implying that there was a third party that John and Patsy were covering up for.
Uh-huh.
No.
No.
They didn't know which of the two killed their daughter. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want their defense attorneys to be like, let's say they charge Patsy with murder. And the defense attorney would cast suspicion on John to help Patsy get acquitted.
Sure, right.
And then if you tried John, his attorney would throw suspicion on Patsy to get him acquitted.
Lawyers being what they are.
Yeah. Right. So they wrote the indictments toward both of them that they both knew, and they attempted to cover up the child abuse leading to the death of their daughter, JonBenet. Hmm. They both did that.
Right, right.
They were not implying that there was a third party who was involved.
Right.
It's just they both were involved.
And they both covered up.
And they both covered up.
Yeah.
And so that's it's unfortunate. I don't know, you know, who poisoned the well there. Did CNN first misreport and Fox just repeated? I don't know if Fox watches CNN or if CNN watches Fox.
Well, you know
what? Somebody got it wrong.
I wonder if maybe.
And a lot of other people misreported.
If I'm not mistaken, the DA in Boulder a few years ago cleared the Ramseys and implied there was a third party, and maybe CNN and Fox, they just believe that.
Well, remember the blithering idiots flew this homo into the U.S. who had confessed?
Uh-huh.
And the homo wasn't even in the state of Colorado during the crime.
But they were willing to fully investigate.
And they,
it was
and
ludicrous
they,
on its face.
It was ludicrous.
Yeah,
So after they go through all the effort in the worldwide news to get him, they say, well, were you in the state? They talked to his ex-wife. She's like, he wasn't in Colorado. Right. And, you know, the whole thing fell apart, obviously. But, yeah, the Ramseys murdered their daughter.
Yeah. And then
the evidence is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so if anybody wants to check out the clue that breaks the case.
Go to shadowgov.com, old school website. I was saying when I was reporting on this story earlier on another show.
Yeah.
I remember when we put that website up. When you went to update a page, it went, bing, bing, bing. You remember that?
No, I don't.
Back in the old days?
I don't remember.
We used to update shadowgov.com back on a dial-up
back
connection.
In the 90s. Oh, that's what you were doing.
That wasn't a very good. Who can even remember that
the
anymore?
Modem sounds.
The modem sound.
Didn't it sound like that?
I think maybe we've forgotten what that sound. We apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to do sound effects from the 90s, and we don't really remember.
So, yeah, kgov.com and shadowgov.com.
Yes.
They were launched in the 90s.
1998.
Back when a lot of people hadn't even heard of email.
Right, right, right. So I want to, I think we should be nominated for a Marconi Award for perhaps being the longest running internet radio show, and maybe the first one. I wasn't aware of any. Back then.
It was early on, right?
It was back a while
and
back.
Do you remember the president of ABC News at their annual meeting of all their affiliates?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember he mentioned us, you and me?
Well, no,
and
I don't
Bob in Your Life, KGov.com, in his talk.
He did?
His keynote address.
Really?
Yeah. He said, you know, we've got 900 stations, and we spend hundreds of millions of dollars on promotions.
Yeah.
And these guys in Denver on one little Christian radio station take over the media of the world because they bought OJ's memorabilia at auction and that's burned it on the steps of the L.A. courthouse.
That's right.
And he said, why can't we do that? Why can't one of you guys out there do that? Why does it have to be these guys on a Christian station?
Yeah, that was
station?
Pretty fun. That was pretty fun.
So, but that's what we used to launch KGov.com.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a significant press conference, even the night before at the auction house.
Yeah.
What was it? Butterfield and Butterfield?
Butterfield and Butterfield, yeah.
They had both of them.
Both were there.
At the auction house in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so once we bid, I forget who you bid, I bid, we bid.
You did all the bidding. I wasn't allowed in the room.
In what?
We only had a limited amount of tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like $500 just to get in the room. I said, you know, I'll stay out in the hall.
That's right. And so all the media, they all rush up afterward because we purchased O.J. Simpson, his Hall of Fame award.
And his Heisman year jersey from whatever school, USC.
1968 jersey from the Buffalo. Then his
USC.
NFL.
And we got a Bills jersey,
his NFL,
I remember.
Buffalo Bills jersey.
Yeah.
And his Heisman, 1968, he signed it. O.J. Simpson, 1968, Heisman Trophy.
And his ironic Lifesaver Award that he had.
And his Lifesaver Award, ironic.
Yeah.
And these were the ones hanging in his living room of his mansion in
Bel Air.
Was that where it was?
I don't know, somewhere in L.A.
No, not
it's
there.
It's all the same.
We should remember.
It's L.A.
Anyway, And so these were his prized possessions, and we bought them.
Well, we
and should. So after the auction, the media rushes up. They're like, "Who are you people?" And we said, "We're webmasters." They're like, "You are?" Yeah, we all had our shirts, kgov.com. And we're webmaster.
Nobody was quite sure what a webmaster was
back then. But it was, you know, we thought it through. We knew it'd be a little bit mysterious. And the reporting was phenomenal. We have it at kgov.com/OJ.
Yeah, you can get all the information. You called for several significant reforms in the justice system that I believe we still advocate to this day.
Yeah, that's right.
We haven't had a lot of luck with the lawyers.
No. And I remember the next 48 hours, I spent some hours on MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit on Fox, a little bit on CNN, a lot on MSNBC with Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews, yeah.
Yeah. And he, after I had been on there like six times about the OJ burning,
right,
he knew that we were planning a nationwide protest against Bill Clinton for raping former campaign workers, Juanita Broderick.
That was back when. That was back before Chris Matthews was completely co-opted, and he was still actually something of a journalist.
Well, he was willing to. So he said to me before one of the segments, he said, "Bob, do you actually want to say this on the air? This evidence that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I do." So he said, "All right, I'm going to hand you a question." Wow. So we did the interview on OJ. And then he said, "Now tell me, you guys are upset at the president."
That's right,
Bill Clinton. And so we talked about it, the evidence, including the contemporaneous witnesses and the evidence that he raped one of his campaign volunteers, Juanita Broderick.
Wow.
And so that, you know, there was a lot of opportunity to speak out. In the Bible, prophets, they would cry out against the wickedness of their day. And God seemed to like the prophets who would boldly rebuke the wicked, like John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "There's none greater among men than John the Baptist." And what did he do? Well, he was a pretty neat guy, including he said that Herod was an adulterer.
Yeah, he did.
The king.
He condemned the king to his face.
So today, and publicly,
In public, yeah.
And so today, if you do that, Christian leaders tell you, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
You need to be forgiving. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't judge.
We shouldn't call names and we shouldn't get angry.
No.
No.
And so if they talk to John the Baptist, they'd say the same thing to John the Baptist.
He would be condemned by a lot of Christian leaders.
Yeah,
today.
Because the body of Christ has been feminized. It's you almost have to be a sissy to be the leader of a national Christian ministry. Almost.
Well, that's just
now
depressing.
Not Matt Barber.
No, not Matt.
And not that, you know, there are a handful of guys who are still men.
Well, a handful might be a slight exaggeration, but only slight.
Okay. Two or three.
There's two or three.
But if you're hearing a Christian leader who says we have to forgive, we can't judge, all this, it's tragic.
Yeah, it is really sad.
Yeah.
So what do you think the odds are?
Zero. What?
I mean, a stray thought. How much more controlled by the president the news media is now? What are the odds that if a similar accusation were made against this president, that Chris Matthews would allow you to
zero?
Not going to happen, right?
Zero.
Things have changed a lot, even from the late 90s when things were awful and scary, remember?
And they're far worse.
We were scared that we were close to the edge in the 90s.
Well, and, you know, I always try to be the counterbalance to our friends who are hyper end times, hyper. One of our dear friends told me a few years ago that the value of gold, he's really into the end times.
Yep.
And he likes to follow the markets. He said the price of gold is going to double or triple in the next year, in the next few years. So I wrote, I said, could I write that down on a calendar?
Uh-oh.
And every year you and I will revisit it. Uh-huh. So we've been doing that.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, very humbly, graciously wonderful. One of my dearest friends until today admitted that he was wrong. Well, but when you're, say you're obsessed with end times prophecy, when you allow your economic forecasting to be influenced by your obsession with end times headlines and all, you are not going to be a good financial advisor.
No.
And you always want to keep in mind that things can get really, really lousy, and it's not the end times.
Ask
the people who were in Dresden or Okinawa.
Yeah, exactly.
Things can get really awful.
And, Doug, we had, you know, a Christian gal was on the show one day, year and a half ago, while I was out of town. And she said that she was running for president, strong Christian, wonderful gal.
Lovely.
And she said God told her she's going to win in a landslide.
Wow.
So I find out, I call her, and not on the air, but called and said, you know, the gal's, obviously she's a false. Obviously we have to stone her, right?
She should
because
be stoned.
She's a false prophet. Not only will she not win, no one will ever have heard of her.
Yeah.
Ever.
Boy, that's pretty.
So, and we have friends predicting like Obama's going to invade Syria and it's going to start World War III. Mm. I say, now, if you're wrong, could we stone you? I just want permission. Because biblically, when you make a prophecy, now they're not all prophecies. Hers was, I think. A false prophet is someone who says, thus saith the Lord said, and the Lord didn't say.
That's not good. It's a stoning offense.
The Lord, it was.
You know what
offense.
I think? I think that it's human
offense.
Nature to want to be involved in big events.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think there's going to be this big giant collapse of America. I think it's just going to be a long, slow, painful, and relatively unpleasant and ugly descent into mediocrity.
Yeah.
And then even further down. In fact, we might be at mediocrity now or a little below it.
Unless you're in Boomtown, Washington, D.C.
Well, then you're doing
there.
Really well.
Real estate prices are through the roof. Yeah. So,
hey, speaking of Washington, D.C., can we do a political story?
Sure.
Terry McAuliffe, you may remember him. He was the chief of staff, I believe, for Bill Clinton.
Liberal.
Back when we were launching ShadowGov.
Yeah.
Back in that era. He worked for the Clintons to some degree. I'm not sure. He's now running for governor of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bit of a scandal about some of the investments he's made. And you're not going to believe this.
All right.
First of all, he invested $33,000 with a particular company. And he received a return of $80,000.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
He might be good. You know,
maybe he's a strategic.
Maybe he could
investor.
Turn their economy around there.
Yeah,
in Virginia.
We don't know if he. This is not cattle futures. This is people futures that he was investing in. He was a passive investor. He says, although he invested actual money.
People futures.
Yeah, it was an investment fund that would pay terminally ill patients a small amount of money in cash before their death, and at the same time, they would purchase life insurance policies on said terminally ill person.
Whoa.
That's
And then when the person dies?
They collect the insurance money. They're the beneficiary.
That's bizarre.
First of all,
that's freakish.
I was a little surprised that something like this is legal, although I suppose if you're dying and you want to make a deal, I suppose it's not immoral.
I don't know. It's freakish.
It's a little creepy.
I'll tell you that. And it reminds me of these business plan, these business models where you're adding no value whatsoever to society.
Yeah, this is not.
You're just figuring out a way to skim some people, take advantage of people who are desperate.
Yeah.
And you're really a net drain on the world. But so you're saying the Democratic candidate for governor
of Virginia, he participated
cashed in on this.
Now he says he was just, you know, it was only $33,000. I didn't really pay attention to what, you know, with that. Now he signed documents that were full disclosure documents that described what they did.
Yeah.
So at least on paper, it looks like Terry knew that they were basically taking advantage of desperately sick people.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yeah, they must have been somehow scamming the insurance companies.
Well,
because how would the insurance company agree to a life insurance policy on somebody terminally ill? They were downplaying
Yeah, well,
the sickness.
He's got a cold.
They were looking for the most severely ill people,
right,
in helping them fill out life insurance policies as though they weren't really that bad. Well, like, are you dead yet? No, not yet.
No, the interesting thing is, the guy who ran this investment fund, he was convicted of a crime, but only for stealing the identities of certain sick people and getting the insurance policies without their knowledge.
Oh, that's all.
He wasn't convicted of defrauding any insurance company. Maybe if the premium's high enough, everybody gambles. Yeah. I don't know, but you're right. This is a net drain on the economy and
so
on society.
So since the Democrat is so bad, probably he'll win. I mean,
you took the...
What?
You stepped on my big, great, grand, bold prediction.
Oh, really?
That's okay, though.
I apologize.
That's because you're an intuitive. You often do that.
I apologize.
Terry McAuliffe is leading... alleged conservative, Bob Cuccinelli, is that his name? I forget. Cuccinelli, Craig Cuccinelli, Jeff Cuccinelli. Get the staff on that.
Macaca Cuccinelli.
I don't believe. I think that's his nickname.
Remember the Republican
anyway,
who lost in Virginia?
Yes.
The Senator Allen?
Well, I do now.
And he, what an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to be a racist for what he said, George Allen.
George Allen.
He called
right.
that the black guy filming him at every campaign stop.
Yeah.
He called him macaca.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which is some African tongue for monkey, I think.
Is that what that was? I remember it was quite the hullabaloo.
Do you remember who his campaign manager was? Dick Wadhams of Colorado.
Who's destroyed the Republican
utter
Party.
Failure
yeah.
fame in Colorado.
He came out here and burned the Republican Party to the ground.
And he told George Allen to not support the marriage amendment between
right,
a man and a woman.
Right.
The marriage amendment won by like 20 points, and George Allen lost.
Yeah. Well, Bob Cuccinelli is suffering a similar fate right now. Early on, he handed over his campaign to Washington insider Karl Rove.
Oh, brother.
Types. I don't know if it's Karl Rove himself or just people who pay kickbacks to Karl Rove, but it was part of that establishment, Republican, middle-of-the-road, moderate, wing of not politicians, but consultants. Consultants. So Cuccinelli, now, he was known as some sort of a conservative, but his consultants have advised him to run as a moderate, and McAuliffe is leading him, according to some polls, in some Democratic districts, by 170 points. Well, you know, in some Democratic districts, 180% of people vote, so... It's a significant. So Cuccinelli is about to lose to a Democrat who is almost a vampire. He almost would qualify as a vampire.
He's probably in with Nancy Grace investing
exactly.
in that mortuary.
Yeah, that creepy. He's that creepy on that level. But the Republicans, because they refuse to embrace conservatism.
Right.
Conservatism.
They run from it.
They run from it.
Which is exactly, I mean, you know, this past election. When the Republicans put up a Democrat,
right?
Republicans put up a Democrat named Mitt Romney,
yeah.
who's pro-socialism, pro-government health care reform.
Pro-homo
marriage even.
All of it.
Pro-abortion on demand, tax-funded abortion on demand, take away religious liberties, force, you know.
He instituted those things.
Boy Scouts, homos in the Boy Scout, the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's the father of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they put him up in millions of Republicans didn't go vote, millions.
Yeah, I was among them.
And they would never, ever have an election where there were higher negatives against the Democrat.
Never. This was the year.
Obama.
Right? 2012 was the year.
Was so disliked
yeah.
by Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and millions didn't vote because why vote for a Democrat to beat a Democrat?
Exactly. And for 20 years, you have been warning conservatives that they're turning into liberals and that they're going to lose everything.
They are destroying the ones who say that you have to put party above person.
Yeah.
They destroyed the party.
The Rosen wing. The Mike Rosen wing.
Yeah, for Colorado listeners.
Of the Republican party.
And the Karl Rove wing.
Yeah, that whole. And the Dick
Is
Wadhams.
Is he still alive?
Karl Rove?
Yeah.
He's on the payroll of over at Fox News.
I saw him last night, but I mean, he's still... He's not. They just don't have his corpse
there. He could be animated.
And
there's no
just
doubt about
pulling
it.
Pulling a string.
No, he
behind
could be
his
straight
back.
Up possessed of like, some demon.
Chatty doll or whatever they call
maybe.
Those things.
So my bold prediction is probably not that bold at this point to anyone who's paying attention. Is that Skip Cuccinelli or Bob Cuccinelli, whatever his first name is, you
Macaca
all know
Cuccinelli.
Macaca Cuccinelli is going to lose to perhaps one of the most evil, scary, creepy men to ever run for office. And any half-baked Republican should be able to beat Terry McAuliffe. The guy's got so much baggage that if he fell off a boat, he'd sink immediately to the bottom of the deepest part of the sea. And Cuccinelli can't beat him because he's taking the advice of the liberals who have taken over the Republican Party and destroyed it. If Cuccinelli would embrace social conservatism, and embrace fiscal conservatism, and speak to the people who actually care about those issues, right, he could beat McAuliffe.
He could, and what would be cool is even if he lost, it wouldn't matter.
There you go.
It wouldn't matter.
That's even bigger.
When you stand for what is right, let's go to the phones.
Amen. That is so
and,
true.
And Susan, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart. Hi, Susan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. Your whole thing about Cuccinelli, Terry McAuliffe, all that.
Yes.
I just got back from the D.C. area, and I just wanted to throw this out there. TV ads are just slamming and hammering Cuccinelli hard because they're using the personhood issue, and they're, of course, saying that Cuccinelli supports personhood and that's going to take away the women's rights and that's going to outlaw all types of contraception. It's going to, you know, also outlaw IVF, all these things. So they're hammering him hard back in that whole D.C. metro area, which is Maryland, D.C., Virginia. And, you know, I don't know that Cuccinelli is any kind of a great guy, but he is, I will say, he's getting blasted. And Terry McAuliffe has the funds. He's got all the money. So
here's the thing about you Republicans out there.
Yeah.
You run away from the social issues like a coward, and the Democrats are going to beat you over the head with it anyway.
They accuse you anyway.
Yeah, you might as well.
Right.
We've seen it here in Colorado.
Oh, absolutely.
That these these Republicans who are against personhood get nailed with personhood anyway.
Exactly. And so that's the precursor to what's going to happen here once again in Colorado, because the pro-aborts are so they're just so good, and it works for them every time as far as throwing out the lies. All they have to do is plant the lies, throw them out there, and keep repeating them. And why would they change their strategy? That seems to work for them.
Right.
And because the Republicans won't fight back, they won't say, all they have to say is, those are lies, and here's the truth. But they don't deal with that. They deal with the financial, your pocket, you know, your pocketbook, money. They won't deal with the
social issues. Would almost make one start to suspect if the Republican Party wasn't actually just a bunch of liberals and they don't really believe in social conservatism anymore.
It was so sickening that as I was sitting there, I was visiting some family and generally never, you know, not really ever watching TV, but I mean, multiple times a day these commercials are on and they're hammering hard.
All right.
Thanks for the frontline report, Susan.
Thank you, Susan, very much. Appreciate that. Doug McBurney, thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Bob.
This is KGOV, KGOV.com. God bless you guys.